Gary Crispus joining us from Racing and Sports. Gary, good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, good, Sean. Yourself?
Good. I tell you what, when I watched the Silver Slipper on Saturday, and Gary Portelli half flagged it when he said at the start, which he might sort of miss a bit relaxed going to the barriers. And when she blew the start, she will run. I thought, this could be interesting. By gee, it was a big run.
Yeah, it certainly was. I think the most of the punters had their hearts in their mouth at that point. But no, look, she's a very promising filly. There's not a lot of her, Sean. She's only a little thing, but she's got a big engine. And she did the job there pretty well on Saturday, reined the leaders in quickly, once she straightened up. I mean, she did have, an unpeated run, of course, through the field. But, she's can only win, beat what's put in front of her, and that was the stiffest test to date.
Mm.
And we've got it going to a new time form rating of 116, which is a couple of pounds ahead of the 5-year winning average for this race. It's an interesting race, Sean. In the last 17 years, there have been 12 fillies win it. And there's only one of those that have gone on to complete the Super Double, and that was Moss Fun in 2014. But so the race doesn't have a particularly good slipper record for the fillies that have won it, but certainly she's one of the most impressive ones to have done it. Verin Elay continues his rise up the ranks on his ratings. He's now sitting at 114. He's up about 3 pounds on his Randwick win, and that's about a length improvement that he's continued to make. So, and he's good solid benchmark horse to use as a gauge in this race. So I think he's going the right way, and I think Calm could probably put a line through his performance there. He's much better than that, and he did look a bit roly-poly in the yard. So I think he'll take a lot of improvement from that run, but going to be, it's the best lead up, I think, run so far that we've seen to the slipper, and obviously in the next couple of weeks we'll see a few more.
It'll be interesting because you only a field of seven there. When you look at the Golden Slipper, traditionally you get a full field and they go like they've just robbed a bank when they jump from the barriers. You wonder where it would suit her in the draw, because if she does blew the start a little bit, you wouldn't want to be drawn in 1, 2, 3, or 4, would you?
No, well, that's right, and her size as well. She's only a tiny little thing, but, I mean, we saw Belle de Jour, blow the start and went super, but it's not something that you normally can do and get away with. But certainly she's proven there on Saturday that she's not one-dimensional. They can actually, if necessary, she could take a sit, and I guess if we see Hootson, contest the race where, she's got the same sort of profile where she goes like a bat out of hell, well, it's probably a good thing that she can, take a sit. So it's starting to take shape, Sean, but even when on barrier draw day, the race can be decided there and then.
The Hobartville Stakes, Man from Uncle Echo Effect, that was just an absolute cracker of a race and a head bobber.
Yeah, look, it's always a good race. Sean, the Hobartville, has got a long history associated with it and a stepping stone now to the Randwick Guineas in a few weeks' time. But Man of Uncle is a horse that's sort of, just taken, another step in his figures. I mean, he showed a lot of promise, with a limited campaign, last preparation. But this time in, he's obviously a much better horse, as we've seen. And now he's won Eskimo Prince last start. And of course, a Hobart Saturday with a very strong, determined finish. And he's ran to a time form rate of 117 on Saturday, which is just slightly below the 5-year winning average for the race, but on a par with the Hallowed Crown in 2015. He ran 118 and Press Statement last year. He was 117 and beat Lee Romaine, who came out and turned the tables in the Randwick Guineas. The best recent winner of it was Piero back in 2013 with a time form running 121. So, as far as the form goes, it looks okay. It looks quite solid. I think we'll see coming through now probably, firm up quite a bit in condition after that run on Saturday, and I think next time we see him, he'll run close to his peak rating, which he's slowly getting back to from the Carbine win in Melbourne over the spring. And clearly Echo Effect had a good run there in the lead and had him all off the bit there for a little while, and he was pretty good there at the finish, but he did have a few favours go his way. Behind that, the winner, I mean, obviously Prized Icon, the Victoria Derby winner, looks great. He'll take benefit from the run, as will Inference, who got Derby written all over him, I think, on his breeding side and what we saw of him last preparation. So a few horses there to come through that will definitely improve their figures and be competitive in coming weeks.
Echo Effect's an interesting one. He's starting to settle down and race like a proper racehorse. Early doors, he wanted to almost charge through the bridle and just take off. But now he's sort of settling more and getting that 1400, and by reset, he just might keep going on.
Yeah, no, look, he's showing better promise. He's only had the 7 starts there for 3 wins, and obviously Saturday with his best performance. And prior to that, he, you know, was good behind Royal Navy there at Rose Hill in a lowly benchmark race. So it'll be interesting to see how he does come off this performance. It was a real high rating effort for him, but he did have a few favours, you know, the wet track and so forth, you know, going, you know, with him. But, you know, I think, you know, let's just see what he does next time we see him.
Now, Benjamin Smith's done a great job within her time, hasn't he, winning the Millie Fox?
Yeah, she's a beauty. She's now won her last 4 starts and continued to improve her figure, you know, each time we see her. And clearly there on Saturday where she had, you know, basically the speed to herself, you know, she's very hard to get past, and she's certainly, you know, turned the corner, you know, this time in, and who knows where she might end up, but certainly, you know, you'd have got to say winning runs not finished yet, and she ran to a figure 111 on Saturday, so she's slowly working her way up through the, you know, the the rating ranks as well, and she put away a pretty good field here on Saturday. I mean, there was a pretty even field, but there's some handy mares in it. I mean, Single Gaze was good. She'll take benefit from the run, and Euro Angel was first up and, you know, ran well, and of course Daisy Duma, you know, the mare we know well and very consistent mare. So I would expect this form to hold up pretty well, you know, going forward as well, Sean.
Well, right now the Parramatta Cup Classic uniform, getting the money there for Gary Moore.
Yeah, he's an honest little horse, isn't he? And Gary's got him going really well right now. And you know, he came off a good, solid performance last start there at Randwick over 1600. Bit of a jump up in grade for him on Saturday, but he did drop in weight and obviously appreciated getting out to 1900 for the first time. He's only ever been tested to a mile previously, so showed a lot of fight there on Saturday. Real excitement. It's just continued to that great vein of form that we saw him display at Gosford and at Randwick prior to that. And he's running pretty consistently around about the 120 mark on time form figures. Allergic, very heavily backed, as we all know, you know, during the week and leading up to the race. But you have to say, a bit disappointing there on Saturday. But, you know, another small field, but interesting race, Sean.
Now, I know Gerald Ryan won't mind me saying this. He's had some very good horses. But I reckon if you line him up, he'd be happy to pat red excitement. He loves him. Gee, he's been a great, honest horse, hasn't he?
Yeah, look, he has. I mean, he's one of those really good horses you'd love to own, wouldn't you?
Oh, always, what a ripper.
He always puts in it. And, you know, probably he wasn't quite suited by, you know, the damp track on Saturday as well. So, but, you know, he loomed up there to win it and, you know, and never gave up right to the line. So it'll be interesting to see where Gerald goes with him now. But, you know, he's rating at a level a bit like Ecuador. He's rating at a level where he might be competitive in, you know, one of the better, you know, weight grade races, you know, coming up, depending, you know, how they play out with quality and so forth.
Antonio Giuseppe, Ty Angman and Chris Waller combined to win the James Roos.
Yeah, and what a promising horse this guy is. You know, we saw him last campaign string together, you know, a lot of wins, you know, benchmark class, and then he tackled the Metropolitan and was, you know, huge in that, just beaten over a length by Sir John Hawkwood. So he made dramatic strides with his ratings on, you know, that campaign, and then on Saturday he's returned in very impressive fashion and gone to a new peak of 118. So he's an exciting horse and one that our listeners can keep on the tail of. I think this campaign, I think there's a decent race in Antonio for sure.
And nice to see Sue Grills get the money in the highway. Fickle Folly, Tommy Berry showed some dash and some kick.
Yeah, it's never in doubt, was it? It sort of jumped in front, and that was it. But yeah, I mean, it was good performance by the 3-year-old filly. You know, she was I think there was only one other 3-year-old in the race, so the youngsters showed the older horses up there, and she's building a nice little record. This filly, Bona Coney, she's now won 3 races, and she was second up there on Saturday after, you know, a good effort, you know, first up at, you know, at Port Macquarie, but obviously she improved a fair bit in condition-wise there on Saturday. And so, yeah, I mean, the 1100 obviously suited her. Her 3 wins have come at 1100, you know, 2 at 1100, 1 to 1000. So she probably, you know, that's probably her pet distance right now.
And finally, the new market, Terra Vista and Spieth, and Spieth just denied again.
Yeah, I mean, it was surely there's a good race for him just around the corner, you would think. He didn't have any luck, as we saw there, by Malagueira, the group one in the spring. But I think the encouraging thing for Spieth is that he's actually improved on our figures to be a slightly better horse than we saw him last campaign. And I think that it'll depend how the weights are structured in the new market as to, what sort of chance he has there. But certainly, he was great on Saturday, just failed to reel in Terra Vista, who is a game horse as well. He seems to go pretty well down the straight. And we got him going to a time of figure 123, which is about where he sort of sits if you take out his massive peak rating in the Daly a couple of years ago. The rest of his form sits around about that level. So he's, obviously has a liking for the Flemington course. I mean, the three-year-olds, I think what happened at the start, I think probably you can forgive Flying Artie. And the speed of this race was atrocious for a 1,000-metre race. I think that sort of came against a lot of these horses, really. I mean, particularly younger ones, I think they're not used to, particularly Flying Artie, to be held up like he was after the start, where he, was obviously upset and was throwing his head around and so forth. So I think that you can overlook his performance. He's a lot better than that. And Star Turn, I think, probably better horse when he's allowed to run a bit, as we saw, with his win at Caulfield. But certainly, these can see just where this form ends up, but the number of, good performances in it, and I think, most noticeably Spieth, I think, is, the horse to take out of it, obviously.
All right, good on you, Gary. Good to catch up. Have a top week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, good on you, Sean. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Gary Crisp there from Racing and Sports.